and my men into the hand of Saul. And the Lord said, they will deliver thee up. If the Saul comes down, they will not resist him. Then David and his men, which were about 600, see, 200 had joined him now this time, arose and departed out of Keilah, and they went whithersoever they could go. And it was told Saul from David that David was escaped from Keilah, and that he forbore to go forth. And David abode in the wilderness and strongholds, and remained in the mount in the wilderness of Ziph. And Saul sought him every day, but God delivered him not into his hand. You know, God will take care of you. You know, God will take care of you. But you see, David is in trouble and on the run. All of his popularity is lost. What would you do if you enter a ministry and you rise to a height and then this starts happening to you? And David saw that Saul was come out to seek his life. And David was in the wilderness of Ziph in a wood. And Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David into the wood and strengthened his hand in God. And he said unto him, fear not, for the hand of Saul my father shall not find thee. Thou shalt be king over Israel, and I shall be next to thee. And that also Saul my father knoweth. He says, and my father knows this. Now, about the time you're really discouraged, God will send a brother to you to encourage you, to give you hope. And they two made a covenant before the Lord, and David abode in the wood, and Jonathan went to his house. Then came up to Ziph, the Ziphites to Saul to Gibeah, saying, doth not David hide himself with us in the strongholds in the wood, in the hills of Hachelah, which is on the south side of Jeshimon? Now therefore, O king, come down according to all the desire of thy soul to come down, and our part shall be to deliver him into the king's hands. See, I'll give him a nice bunch of gold. There are always people willing to sell you. And Saul said, blessed be ye of the Lord, for ye have compassion on me. Blessed be ye of the Lord. Compassion on me. See, everything was me now. Me. Not God's will, not the people, but me. That's what the devil will drive you to. So you will do anything to chop out anybody so that you can be leader. If the devil is allowed to. Go, I pray you, prepare yet and know and see his place where his haunt is, and who has seen him there, for it is told me that he dwelleth very subtly. See, therefore, and take knowledge of all the looking places where he hideth himself, because he didn't just have one place. He keeps moving about, and he's very clever. And come ye again to me with the certainty, and I will go with you. And it shall come to pass, if he be in the land, that I will search him out throughout all the thousands of Judah. And they arose and went to Ziph before Saul, but David and his men were in the wilderness of Maon, in the plain in the south of Jeshimon. They moved on. The Lord kept moving them on. Saul also and his men went to seek him, and they told David, wherefore he came down into a rock and abode in the wilderness of Maon. And when Saul heard that, he pursued after David in the wilderness of Maon. And Saul went on this side of the mountain, and David on his men on that side of the mountain. And David made haste to get away for fear of Saul, for Saul and his men compassed David, and David and his men round about to take them. They had making a circle around him, and he was trying to get out. But there came a messenger unto Saul, saying, haste thee and come, for the Philistines have invaded the land. About this time, God sent somebody back in his back door. Wherefore Saul returned from pursuing after David and went against the Philistines. Therefore they called the name of that place, and David went up from thence and dwelt in the strongholds of Engedi. Sela Hamath Lekah. The name of the place. Okay, I just showed you how to get out of those type of places like that. Now, chapter 30. And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south, and Ziklag had smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire. And had taken the women captives that were therein, and they slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on the way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire. And their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captive. Why, Lord? Don't you love me anymore? I thought I was anointed to be king. You call this kingship? I lost my wife, Michael, and now I find I lose this wife, and the children, and the city is burned, and they've taken them away, and that's the worst thing. We don't know what's happening to them. See, everything is happening. Everything here to be discouraged about. This is a discouraging situation. I mean, this is a frightful, horrifying, scary, terrible thing to have happened to you. And about this time, it's easy to say, why, Lord? Are you still with me? He was being tested to the hilt. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. They cried and cried and cried. Those strong men who don't usually cry wept until there was nothing more to weep. You take the wives, you've taken everything. And David's two wives were taken captives. Ahinoam, the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal, the Carmelite. Remember that story. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord and his God. Now his army talked about stoning him. They were for him. They were willing to suffer with him. But now they blamed him, because they, for him, had joined him, and now this had come upon them. Do you know, people are always trying to blame somebody else. That it might be easier for them to blame somebody else for something. And David was in a real difficult place. You know what he did? He gave up. No. He encouraged himself in the Lord. Do you know that he could not go by feelings at this time? Can you believe he could not trust feelings? Can you believe there were a lot of demonic feelings? Great discouragements. He knew he had to say, Lord, I know. See, he had to stand on the word of the Lord. He had to say, it stands written. I know, Lord, that you've anointed me. I know I shall be king. I know I'm in your will. I know this is but a setback. What a setback. Lord, I know I'm going to get my wives back. I know you're going to take care of me. Lord, you got to. He began to encourage himself in the Lord. Verse 8, and David inquired at the Lord, saying, and so he had to go again to the ephod. He was in trouble. Shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. About the time that you think you can't go on, God will encourage you with a message. And then you see he had heart again, because see, he's pursuing those that were pursuing him. But now the Lord has said, it's going to be all right. I'll take care of you. In chapter 30, the rest of chapter 30, Saul lost his arm. I had three sermons for tonight. I didn't have any idea which one I was going to preach. So I kind of came uphill, you know, with this thing. Saul lost his army at Gilboa. Saul's sons were slain. Saul was wounded, and then Saul commits suicide. That was his end. And David became king over Judah, and later he became king over Israel. Now, question. Why did God allow David to go through all of this? David was righteous and chosen by God. Why then did God speak to David to protect him, but not overturn the situation? See, God had not abandoned him. He still said, you know, you better move on, he's coming after you. Still, he allowed his wives to be taken. He still didn't make him king. He still allowed Saul to chase him. Have you ever noticed that God keeps coming to you, helping you, but still you're in trouble? Still the devil is chasing you, but he still speaks to you and he still helps you. He could smite the devil and deliver you completely, but he allows him to continue to work on you. And things come against you and you lose your job and situations come against you and still God is, he's still with you. And you say, well, why, Lord, this if you're with me? I don't get it. See, God was in all of this. God was in all of this. Stripping David to build character in him. God did not want David to ascend to the throne in popularity with his great reputation. Saul's fall was because of pride. And God says, I love this man, David. He's a man after my own heart, and I don't want him to fall. And if I do everything wonderful for him, I can see that that pride will take over and he will fall. I'm going to have to work this fellow over to build some character in him. Because David is rising in a tide of popularity where he won't have to trust me. But I am going to teach this young man that he's going to have to trust me and me alone. I'm going to teach him not to be bitter when things come against him. You see, he was in a place where he could have killed Saul twice and he would not touch God's anointed. A lot of people out here haven't learned that yet. He would not take vengeance. He respected the Lord. He had to behave himself wisely in difficult times and places. God said, I will let him go through the fire of persecution and difficulty. And when he takes the throne, he's going to be merciful, humble, broken, softer. He's going to be a better king. And he's going to be a better soul for me. God was protecting David by this. Now, this is not what looks like protection from David. But this was protection. See, God's ways are not our ways. And we certainly know our ways are not his ways. And so it may look to you like God isn't for you when it's exactly, he's doing exactly the very best for you. He is allowing you to be chopped down to size. He's pruning your tree that you might have more fruit, that you might be a sweeter soul, more loving. He'll put you in such need of other people so that you will learn to be unified with the body. He didn't want you to be an island and a champion unto yourself. He'll put you to a place that you'll be able to, that you won't strut with your high position. You'll know who you are and who he is. And so, don't fret, my friend, when he's got you in the furnace and some fiery trial is upon you. God was forcing David to depend upon God alone for guidance, for strength, for comfort, and for help. Help. He could not trust in prophet, nor priest, nor friend, nor family. Only God could save him. He had to teach him that. We've got to learn that only God will save you from your woes and distresses. Friends may help, but only God can save you. David was depended first upon Saul, and then he depended upon Jonathan, and then upon King Achish for 16 months. And then he was about ready to settle for Ziklag. He was going to settle there. But God wanted to give him the kingdom and expand it. Says he came down, he became more willing to have less. But God, as he became willing to have less, God was going to give him more. If you spend too much, God will have to chop you down. But if he can cut you down, he'll build you up. Because he can do it safely. And David was forced to encourage himself in the Lord. See, God is forcing you to encourage yourself in the Lord. Demonic attacks or no, he's going to force you until you finally get the understanding you're going to go under unless you encourage yourself in the Lord. And you finally, he's going to teach you faith in difficult times. Anybody can have faith for little easy things. He's going to teach you to have faith in him when it looks impossible. When you can't go any longer. He became so tired that he was afraid to go to sleep. Saul was so hot on his heels at one point of time that he was afraid that and he was so worn out, they were running, just running on a dead run to keep ahead. And they could hear him and see him behind. They were just on a run. And it came nighttime, and a fall in the woods, and he said, you know, if I lay down, he's going to send some people to sneak up on me. And he finally said, I can't go on any longer. I can't go on. I just got to sleep. I can't hold my head up any longer. I can't run any longer. I've got to take some rest. And he said, Lord, I've got to trust you to protect me tonight, because I'm going to lay my head down and sleep. And the scripture says he awoke, and he opened his eyes, and he said, I'm still alive. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for giving your angels charge about me tonight. Every Christian wholly devoted to God will be stripped by God. Not all the same way, not all at once, and not without God's grace. Jesus Christ was stripped by God. I told you this morning, you know, he had 2 years of popularity with healing the hundreds of thousands in Galilee, winds and waves obeying him, raising the dead, casting out the demons, wanting to take him by force and make him king. The whole world had gone after him, the Pharisees said. Then came the turning down and down, 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 down to the cross until all had forsaken him, until his disciples, the others about him said, he hath a devil. And his own disciples forsook him, and Peter himself said, I know not the man. If there was ever a time to be discouraged, that was it. But see, Jesus held faith in God, regardless. None of you have had it worse than David. Jesus, I don't think. Now, Lynn Newby has been under a heavy attack. Heavy demonic attack in her body. Week after week after week, I am so angry at the devil. You know, I heard the Lord prophesy something one time through my wife that really was a help to me to hear God say this. God said, I am angry at the devil for this. Something he did here at this church. I am angry at the devil for this. And it just helped my heart, you know, to know that on this particular thing, that God was angry at the devil. I said, well, Lord, that's good. If you're angry at him about this, I know that you're going to do something here. But see, God allowed it, even though he was angry at him for doing it. He allowed it for a purpose. I want you to continue to pray for Lynn Newby until she's totally delivered. And that goes for each of the others that are going through these things. You know, this sister in the wheelchair, what's her name? Sally. The devil is really battling the mind of Sally. The devil wants to keep her from walking. She can walk, but the devil won't let her. The devil comes in with pseudo pains and pseudo you should not be able to. And I've heard some testimony this week of how at the retreat she did, by help she walked. Sally, I love you. And that I want you to pray for that girl. Rebuke those demons every day, because the spirits of apathy and difficulty is difficult. These spirits are besieging her until she's, you know, you don't know what it's like to be in that. It's easy to say, cast it off, sister. But who knows what it's like really to be where she is with that upon you. And I want you to pray for her. Continue to pray to break that power. You're going to see her running. The Lord has allowed the devil to work on me a bit, work me over. And I mentioned that this morning, and you know the story, and I won't take time to go through it again, but I can see that the Lord said, I'm going to work him over a little bit, because I want to make him a better person for God. I want to make him more like Jesus Christ. I want him to have to face false accusations and all this. We're going to test him. because I have a job for him. I have a bigger job. And I want to see if he'll fall. I want to see if he'll stand. Will he get bitter at those who accuse him and attack him? Will he be benevolent? Will he forgive him even if they don't ask forgiveness? Will he hold up under the attacks? What will he do when it's just constant on him month after month? Do you know in these hours you need to pray for your pastor? Do you need to pray for those going through attacks, your brothers, your sisters, elders, and different ones? We need to come to them like Jonathan in the wood and encourage them in the Lord. We need one another. Now, God does not allow his trouble-free lives for good reason. David said, "When I saw the prosperity of the wicked, my foot almost slipped." And he said, "Before I was chastised, I went astray. But you chastised me and you brought me back." His chastisings are not pleasant. David lost his baby. He wept all night on the couch begging God to save him. God says, "No, I'm not going to. This is a judgment for that." There's some things you've got to pay penalties for. He will forgive you, but he'll still say penalty. There is judgment coming upon some of you for some things, and if you are careless and continue, even if he forgives you, he will allow certain things to happen to your life because of it. And he does it because he loves you, and he wants to make a stronger soul for heaven. Those left alone, so the devil does not come upon you, have got no great calling. Well, that's the season for your trial is not yet. But you will be tried, my friend. You will be tried. And don't think one trial is all you're going to get. This life, through much tribulation, we shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, Jesus said. Up ahead of us, we're going to have trials. And God may be moving us in marvelous ways, maybe in heavenly places in Jesus Christ, but there is going to come great temptation and trials. And some of you are longing for ministry. You have no idea the trials and temptations that are going to come your way. Much greater temptation and trials than you have now. You better be able to stand and take things now so you can take heavier things later. And I don't know what I'm going to face later. So we have to say, "Lord, not my will, but thy will be done." Don't take away my trials. Make me strong enough to overcome my trials. Because if he takes away the trials, what about the next ones and the next ones? He can't take you to heaven by you being a ferryboat captain on a mill pond. You won't be worth much. He's going to have to take you to the high seas. Everything that can be shaken in your life will be shaken. The devil is looking about you, hunting for a weakness. And we've all got them. And that's what we got to stick together. And when he finds them and says, "There is your weakness," don't you turn and say, "There is his weakness. The devil told me." You go to plug up that weakness. Stand for him. He's your brother. So when the devil finds your weakness, God can send somebody to help plug up the breach in your wall. If there's anything that can be shaken, God, the devil can take your tree. And he is going to do this to it. And brother, you better have all your fruit really glued on. You better know in whom you have believed. David was in God's file. He could have become bitter at God. He could have been crushed in spirit and given up. But God was the lifter up of his head. Now, I close this sermon tonight, it's a little long, by saying this. How about your life? What about your life? Are you willing to let the Lord shake your tree? Are you willing to let him test you? Will you determine like Job to say, "Though you slay me, yet will I trust you"? Or will you look at circumstances? I want to tell you, it's much easier on a calm sea to say, I will trust God even if it's windy and the storm is here, than it is on a stormy sea. It's easier when you're in assembly to say, I would walk on water if he asked me to, than to do it when the water's in front of you and he says, now walk on it. So remember, don't think more highly of yourself than you ought, but make decisions. And bring yourself to a place where you say, I am committed to lose myself for his sake. I will lose my life that I may find it. I sell out. Whatever you ask me to do, I will do. I will not try to be anything. I will just allow you to do what you want. And I'm going to love you and please you and serve you. And I will not care about men's voices. I'll not try to be big or popular. I only want to do your will that you might get the glory. And Lord, I will not seek my own. Be careful you don't seek your own. Be careful you finally get to the place you say, Lord, my popularity will come in heaven. My wages in heaven. The glory in heaven. Right here, I'm willing to let you use me to save others. And I'm willing to let you mold character in me. I'm willing to go through storms. But remember, it's how you go through it that counts. If you bellyache all the way through it, if you whimper and cry in your soup all the time you're going through it, you go through it in bad form, you can't stand up straight when you come out of it. It means you're going to have to go through this trusting God when it looks like there's no hope. If your child be taken from you, we've had people in this church whose mates have been taken, children taken, fathers taken, and they've held strong and glorified the Lord like giants. God will give you strength in the hour. We've had people who've taken their husband when they were young and their husband was young and taken their husband and they had a good marriage and they blessed the Lord and praised the Lord. My, I was proud of them. So proud of them. It'd be so easy at that time to listen to the voice of the devil and say, why has God allowed this to happen? Don't ever say why to God. You have already surrendered all rights to him. You have got no rights. We cannot say, I've got my rights. We've got none. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. And we must now, in the covenant, say, I am a love slave to you, no matter what you want to do. Remember, if God chooses to make David king instead of Jonathan, you Jonathan, love David. Take it. I will follow, even though I'm the king's son, and he takes him, and I'm the king's son, and he's going to make him king instead of me. And he's just a shepherd boy. He's a nobody. You see the purity in Jonathan's soul? You don't read the book of Jonathan. You don't read all the glories that he did. He was a supporter. He was called to be a supporter. I think he's going to have a high position in heaven. He was a good warrior and a supporter. And he took it with good form. Be careful of the devil. He's after you. But God is for you. And don't look and measure circumstances whether God's for you or not. Just remember he's always for you. And let him prove you and take you through.